few interesting things before I delve into my sermon this morning. Did you know that many of the themes of the first three chapters of Genesis are reflected in the last three chapters of Revelation? We can be assured the authors were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were only influenced by the Lord himself. Genesis is a foundational book to understanding the rest of the Bible. It speaks of relationships between God and his creation and God and human beings. It shows how God, our only God, initiates and makes covenants with his chosen people. Loving his people, he pledges faithfulness, and his people promise their faithfulness to him. Most Jews and Christians believe that Moses is the author of the first five books of the Old Testament. These books are called the Pentateuch: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Genesis was written for God's chosen people, the Israelites. This new community was made of followers who committed themselves to God without any conditions. Noah was a person who believed and was very faithful. Noah was born in the 11th generation after Adam. The world was filled with sin and violence. We know that Noah and his family were saved from the flood, the flood that lasted 40 days. The earth was covered with water for 40 days. As I was looking into the number 40 for biblical references, I found that Moses spent 40 days fasting on Mount Sinai, that he spent 40 years in Midian in exile. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering in the desert. The Israelite spy spent 40 days in espionage in Canaan. And Jesus experienced 40 days of fasting and temptation, and the amount of days spent on the earth after his resurrection was 40 days. So 40 is a significant number when we look into that in the Bible. God's judgment and his was demonstrated by his power over creation. He mightily executes his judgment over the universe. God despises sin, and the flood was an event to end the sinful ways and thoughts of mankind. I don't know if Jeff is able to. I was visiting Ellen this week, and I turned around, and in one of her shelves, there it is, under Eloise's name. I don't know. Do you see the ark? I turned around. I said, oh, Ellen, that's so precious. It's the ark, and I'm going to be talking about the ark. If the little girls were here, I'd be saying, do you think the ark was really that small and stuffed all those animals in there? All right. So while condemning those who sin, God provided salvation for those who love him and follow his commandments. The commandments, a reminder that the commandments were given to Moses many years ago after the flood. God sovereignly promised the following covenant with Noah. It is the only divine covenant in which God pledges not to do something. A covenant is a visible seal and a reminder of a promise. Genesis 9 through 12. I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants, and with all the animals that are on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will flood waters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. And then God said, I am giving you a sign of a covenant. And you and with all living for you and for all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will flood waters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. And then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is a sign of the covenant, and I am confirming with you and with all the creatures on earth. Pastor Matthew Henry wrote that God is graciously pleased to deal with man in the way of a covenant. And he goes on to say that God's covenants are established more firmly than the pillars of heavens or the foundations of the earth and cannot be disannulled. God's covenants are made with the covenanters and with their children. This covenant is made with everything, every living creature, and every beast on earth. There would not be a deluge. There would not be a deluge drowning the world ever again. This flood demonstrates God's ultimate power. It was made known how much God hated sin as he willingly covered his creation with water. It is important to recognize that God will deal with sin on his own terms while providing salvation for those who love him and follow his teaching. The rainbow shining in the sky signals that we need not fear flooding, as the sunbeams signify the glory of God and the seal of his covenant. The earth was completely covered for 40 days. I can imagine God looking at the rainbow and remembering his covenant lovingly. We need to be mindful of promises made by our Lord and Savior with thankfulness and faith. God reveals himself to Moses in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. He clearly establishes his theological truths. God's nature is stated. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. God revealed himself to Moses, and Moses said that God abounds in his goodness and his truth. God is the creator of the universe. He will rule as a loving God over his creation, having his will be done. And God promises to bless humanity. However, he will not overlook disobedience. Jesus encouraged tradition and religion, but fully encouraged using this understanding to do God's will. In Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The first followers of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, shared everything they owned to those who were suffering and those who were less fortunate than themselves. As the community of new believers grew, their faith was enriched. They forgave others. There was spiritual growth, and emotional support was there for both celebrations and the suffering, the times of suffering. Jesus shows us who God is. He was born to a Jewish woman and named Jesus, which means God helps. The disciples wrote of his birth, life, joys, struggles, and preaching, recognizing Jesus truly is the Son of God, the anointed of God. Following the way of Jesus brings blessings to all. Studying about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the teacher, the healer, and friend shows us how to live and how to prepare for the future. Alfred Neufeld wrote, "He became the best teacher of history, law, prophets, and the wisdom of God. Jesus proclaims the ethic of love. He prohibited his disciples from loving money and making idols of material goods. Jesus taught helping one's neighbors without calling attention to it, kind of just like Kathy's neighbors did for her. Loving one's neighbors without calling attention to it and praying for God in private. That's what Jesus taught his disciples. For praying together, he gave us the Lord's Prayer, which is a brief manner, which in a brief manner shows how to pray for the coming of the kingdom and how to pray for personal and spiritual needs. Mr. Neufeld in his book posed these questions, and I'm going to share them with you. In what ways has Jesus been one of the following in your life? A healer, the way, a teacher, the truth, a good shepherd, the life, a friend. Some of your thoughts may have come to a time of joy, or maybe come to a time of pain, a time where you felt alone, or a time where you felt you were rejoicing with friends. Romans 8:28 reads, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Jesus continually gives thanks to God. He used scripture whenever he needed to reply to evil. These are some of the responses found in Luke 4, 1 through 13. When the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." Jesus knew the teachings of the Bible, and he chose to obey God over and over. When the devil tempted Jesus, saying, "I will give you all authority and splendor if you worship me," Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." When the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." In verse 12, Jesus answers, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to a test." Jesus will give you the grace to get through tough times and to deeply feel blessed in the good times. This world needs people who say in the midst of trouble that God is good. Let's say that together, and I even want to hear you. God is good. One more time, even louder than you did that time. God is good. Know it, believe it, feel it. Trust him. It is my hope that you took some time to make an appointment with God and with Jesus last week to go over those foundational verses that I shared with you from Philippians, Timothy, Isaiah, and Proverbs. As I read through them this week, I was thinking of all of you and praying for all of you. It really was an emotional week and a good week, and I hope all of you were feeling blessed by sharing these verses all together and reading them together during the week. Were you able to spend a little bit more time with God? Were you able to find a quiet place away from distractions? Don't wait for the best of times to have quality time, because that rarely occurs. Start purposefully with a manageable place and time, and then move to a devoted time with consistency to get into God's Word. This week, I'm going to encourage you to make an appointment, set a devotional time to work on and memorize Romans 8:28. If we were at church, you would have gotten this in your bulletin, but I think that everyone was sent the bulletin. So Romans 8:28 reads again, "And we know that all things God, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Work on memorizing that. Work on thinking, what does that mean to me? Romans 8:28. When circumstances don't go our way, we can find comfort in knowing his plan for me stands firm. It may not be the way you want it to be, but it is his plan for you. God's plan for our lives is formed before we even take our first breath. We can hold on tight to knowing that God will turn all events, enjoyable or painful, for good. Sometimes that's tough. As you read and write down to memorize and share Romans 8:28 with whoever walks by your desk at work or walks into your house this week, ask yourself, okay, what does this passage say? Put it into your own words. And we know that in all things God works for good, for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is in control. What does that mean to each of you individually? Ask yourself, am I worrying too much about certain situations? Am I glorifying Jesus in my words, in my actions, in my responses? Am I forgiving others and not blaming others because of certain situations? Ask yourself, how does it apply to my life? How should I change as a result of studying this verse? How should I change? And I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All of you have been called. All of you have been blessed with his love. Take the time to study and memorize Romans 8:28. And we're all doing it together this week, which is pretty exciting. The questions that I just asked works for all verses, not just this verse that we're going to be studying this week. All the verses in the Bible you can look at and say, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? How should I be changing? Memorizing this verse or any verse will aid during times of wonder and doubt. You will have a shift in attitude turning to this verse. Your commitment to God surely will grow, and your relationship with others will reflect the respect and love that you have for God. God keeps his promises to us, and we can wake each day with a thankful heart because we know he truly loves us. How can we describe our relationship to the Bible, and what should that look like? Well, we should treat it as God's word, for sure. We should respect it, honor it, and obey it. Our Lord has promised his faithfulness, and we are his blessed community. I would like to finish by sharing the Lord's Prayer with all of you. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Would anyone like to respond to the sermon today?